So this week I was reading a news article that said that the Bureau of Land Management out west catches wild horses, wild stallions and mustangs, and then to keep them safe and to keep them from hurting people and to keep them from hurting each other, they corral them and take care of them. But then the Bureau of Land Management is out of space. They only have space for about 6,000 horses, and that's how many they have now. So the Bureau of Land Management is offering people $1,000 to come and adopt a horse. And I went, well, I can get a horse and $1,000. That is win-win. So I told my friend about it this week, and she goes, no, Jesse, no, you cannot adopt a horse. And I'm like, but come on, I'll get $1,000 and a horse. It's win-win. And she's like, you're going to have to feed it. You're going to have to brush it. You're going to have to walk it, water it. You know, do you have time for all that? I'm like, I got time. I'm a part-time pastor and a full-time student. I got plenty of time for this. It'll be fine. And she goes, look, it's like having a puppy that's 1,000 times bigger. I'm like, well, I have no time for a puppy. And she goes, and you have no time for a horse. Then she called me a couple of names that are okay, but just, you know, she was, you simple man. You cannot get a horse. Which is a really bad segue into the scripture this morning from Matthew, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, when you come to church, when you come to temple and give your offering, if you have any disagreements among you, if your friends, if your brother and sister are fighting with you, go and fix that first. Jesus says, if anybody calls their brother and sister Raca, then they shall face judgment. So I had to Google what Raca meant, because I don't know what it meant. I put it into Google, and it turns out that Raca means duck in Slovenian. I don't think Jesus spoke Slovenian. It was actually Aramaic, which means fool. But I like duck, because that's pretty close to, it's pretty close to what my friend called me when I wanted to get a horse for $1,000. But that was just simple fool instead of duck. But I like duck today. And so what Jesus is telling us, and if you were here last week, you remember we were talking about Deuteronomy, where Moses was telling the Israelites that when you come to the temple, when you come to bring your offering, you bring it up to the altar and you say before the priest that we were enslaved in Egypt, now we are free, thanks to you, Father Almighty, and so on and so on. And so today's scripture is the New Testament version of this. This is when Jesus replaces what Moses says, adds a little bit more, and keeps us moving forward. And again, it's 2 weeks now, and I want to see how long I can go. This is not a sermon about money. This is not a sermon about stewardship. This sermon is actually about the passing of the peace this week, because that's what we're doing in Lent. We're looking at different worship elements. Last week was the doxology, why we sing sometimes the way we do. This week is the passing of the peace and why we get up and shake each other's hands or not sometimes if you're a germaphobe like I am. Why we pass the peace and how we do it. Next week will be confession and pardon and what does that mean and how do we pray and so on and so on. And so for today what we're looking at is this passing of the peace, and I think it's relevant to what Jesus was talking about in Matthew. I think it was relevant because when we are meant to be reconciled with one another, we stop what we are doing, we stop worship even, and leave. That is what Jesus said in verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go and be reconciled to them, and then come back and offer your gift to God. You have to fix what is right with your brother and sister before you can offer God your gifts, before you can praise God, before you can worship God. And so the scripture this morning made me laugh when I was thinking about that horse. Because my friend said a couple of words to me that, you know, she called me a simple fool. A simple fool. Or a duck. The reality is, I was a simple fool. At Broadway, a couple of people came up after me and went, Pastor Jesse, you do not want to get a wild horse. You would not You're going to have to go out west to get it and bring it back. You're going to spend $1,000 just doing that. Do you have a corral in the back of the parsonage? I'm like, not yet. And I was like, then I have to talk to the board of trustees, and this is going to be a mess. And $1,000 may not be worth it, but I get a free horse. I think it's worth it. So then Romans 16, the scripture I read, the one with all of the names, Priscilla and Aquila, Epitinetus and Andronicus, Junia, Urbanus, Apelles, Herodian. Those are just the ones I can pronounce real well by looking at it quickly. That's my kind of scripture because, folks, that's what it's like sometimes to be a pastor. Make sure you go say hi to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I don't know how to pronounce that person's last name. Who is that person? I'm not sure. I don't know how to pronounce it or spell it. Last names, I'm real rough with last names. I'm getting better with first names. Last names are real rough. But the scripture is really important because of the last line. Finally, Paul writes, greet one another with a holy kiss, and to all the churches of Christ, send greetings. Send greetings. And so we greet one another, we greet each other, we greet all people, and that is what is important. And so this morning, I think the passing of the peace is a good thing to talk about. I think it's one of those things we don't understand fully sometimes, we don't think about. We're just told to greet one another, and we stand up and shake some hands. And so I'm here to tell you that it's not a social time. It's not a time where we're going to catch up with our neighbors. It's not a time to talk about the pastor's sermon. It's not a time to talk about what we're going to do for lunch. How was that movie you saw last week? Where were you last week? I think I missed you. The passing of the peace is a chance to be symbolic of Jesus' teaching, to look at what he said in Matthew, that we are supposed to go out, make amends with our friends and family, fix our relationships with one another, and come back. We do it, and this is one of those times that while I don't always get the hymn numbers correct in the bulletin is actually important. The bulletin is also a teaching tool. And so I invite you, if you wish, to look at the bulletin. We have the gathering, we have the proclamation of the word. These are the ones in the big, bold, underlined text. The response of the word is actually what that is the work of the church. The gathering is when we come together. That's when we start worshiping. The proclamation of the word is what I'm doing right now. It's important. But there's only one of me preaching this morning. The response to the word, that is when all the good things happen. That's when if we had a baptism or communion, it would be in the response to the word. When a new member joins the church, or if you really were Methodist, and you wanted to have a wedding in the church, you could actually have it on Sunday, and it would be in response to the word. These are the acts of the disciples, the acts of church members standing up and saying, we believe in that word, we believe in that message, we believe in the gospel, even if we don't agree with what the pastor said, and therefore we're going to take it further. And so we sing because we're Methodists, we have a chance to talk about the Apostles' Creed and to proclaim our faith. And then the next three items are important: the prayer of confession, the pardon, and the passing of the peace. I'm going backwards intentionally, so we're looking at the passing of the peace. Next week will be the confession and the pardon, but what I will say today is that we confess our sins not to a priest, not to someone in a closet somewhere where we confess to them and they give us absolution. We confess our sins publicly. We confess our sins before God and before one another. We confess our sins in this holy place. And then the pardon, these words of assurance, are not that I am giving you absolution. These words are a reminder that you are forgiven. No, you're good. It's fine. I just want to make sure she didn't fall. A reminder that we are forgiven, a reminder that God has already died on the cross for us, and that we are forgiven. That is why we have a prayer of confession, and that is why we have a pardon. Not that the words have some special meaning, not that I am some magical person that can forgive you of your sins. I don't have that responsibility. Jesus Christ does. And so after we confess our sins, after we are reminded that we are a forgiven and saved people, that's when we pass the peace. That's when we greet each other in peace as a reconciled family, as a group of people who know that they are saved and loved and come together as one. And so I always get a question. I get questions all the time. One question I get is, why do we pass the peace every week? We take communion once a month. Let's pass the peace once a month. Sometimes Howard goes, we take communion once a month. Let's go back to quarterly like we used to. Apparently Joe wants that too. I'm the other way. I'm like, let's do communion every week, friends. It is food for the journey. Let's eat every week. But I am not a crazy person, and I'll wait a little bit before I try to institute something like that. And so why do we pass the peace every week? There's two good reasons. The first is that Sundays are the Lord's day. Especially during Lent, it's very easy to see. Sundays are like little Easters. If you're in a Lenten promise, if you're in a Lenten fast, if you're withholding something or adding something, Sunday is kind of the day where you kind of get the day off. This is a very Catholic idea. Not that I'm jumping on Catholics this morning, but it's a very Catholic idea that, you know, okay, but I can get away with it on Sunday and then go back to my Lenten promise on Monday. That's a very Catholic concept. But Methodists have kind of stolen it as well, which is fine. It's the Lord's Day because when we pray our prayer of confession, because when we receive that pardon, even though it's just a reminder, we are reminded that we are pardoned, reminded that we are saved, and reminded because of that cross, we are citizens of God. We are children of God. We belong in heaven. And so Sunday is a holy day. Sunday is a day that we are reminded of this. Sunday is a day that we are reminded of God's love toward us. And Sundays are a day that we love others because he loved us first. We forgive others because we were forgiven first. We pass the peace which passes all understanding. We pass the peace because it was first given to us. The second reason is that it's habit forming. My father always told me that it takes 21 days to form a new habit. 21 days, that's what my father always said. So I've been trying to drink a glass of water before bed. That's my new thing I'm doing. It's really good for you. It helps digestion and it helps your body repair itself. You drink a glass of water before you go to bed. That's a really good thing. And I struggle with that because by the time I'm getting ready for bed, I'm pretty much already passed out. So I was talking to my friend the other day about this, and he's asking me, how's it going? How's drinking your water every day? And I'm like, well, I have formed a new habit. My habit is that when I get into bed and I lay my head down on the pillow, now I say, shoot, I forgot to drink that glass of water, and get back up and go drink the glass of water instead. And he goes, I don't think that's how it's supposed to work. And I go, that's fine. I'm still getting that glass of water, and I'll work on the other side later. So the passing of the peace is similar to that. Why we do it every week, besides the fact that it is the Lord's day, we do it because it's habit forming. We do it because it puts us in a mind, it puts us in a state to remember that we are a loved people. We are a reconciled people, that we are a forgiven people, and that we should act like it sometimes. That maybe we should be a little bit more forgiving, maybe we should be a little bit more reconciling. Maybe we shouldn't fight as much, or use words as much, or call each other duck as much. And so when we come together, when we pass the peace as a family, as a reconciled group of people, we remember that we are loved, and we love each other because he first loved us. And so, what we do is we come together, and we shake hands. I had a professor who always used to tell me, I say always, this was last semester. Last semester, I had a professor who told me, when you're a pastor and when you're holding communion, you have to do table manners. You have to teach people how we eat in church, how to act in church. What are the manners of this table that we gather around? And so that's why every week, every month, when you're here for communion, I go through kind of what we're about to do. We're going to take communion by intention. You take a piece of the bread, you dip it into the cup, you eat both elements together. That is table manners, in a kind of cute way to explain it. And so table manners or acceptable manners for the passing of the peace, it's not some social hour. It's not a time when we're supposed to come together and talk. And Corey, how was your weekend? What did you do? I saw that you went shopping this week. Did you enjoy that? It's not supposed to be some back and forth. It's not supposed to be a bunch of time. It's good morning, Corey. I also pray with Corey every passing of peace. It's peace be with you, Corey. May the peace of Christ be with you. Good morning. I miss you. How was it?
Yes, you. See you yesterday.
That is what we're not supposed to say. For the record, Brandon and I spent an hour and a half in a car yesterday, and then went to an annual conference for 8 hours, and then another hour and a half in the car coming back, along with Carol Walters and Pastor Larry. What you're not supposed to do is, when you kind of upset me yesterday with, you know, when we were talking and you were getting all college sick, and you looked in the window and the puffing sound made my ears hurt. I knew you were getting nauseous. I know I'm a bad driver. That's not, it's good morning. Peace be with you. That's okay, you know, and please understand what I'm saying. It's okay to have conversations with people. It's just maybe not during worship. There's a couple of people in church that, if I'm not done by noon, they're looking at their watch. 12:01, 12:02, they're on their watch. Howard's one of those people. 12:05, he's like, come on, Pastor, bring me home. Some of the Baptist churches, I'm told, and I've seen, that when the sermon goes too long, people are like, bring it home, Pastor. Amen. End the play, Pastor. You've got to bring it back. And thankfully, the Methodist Church hasn't gotten there yet, because I'm coming up to my point where I need to stop, too, and really play. The passing of the peace is supposed to be a time where we show that we are reconciled, show that we love each other, show that we forgive each other, and act accordingly, act like Christians. And now the hard part, the real hard part, is we're supposed to be like this even with people we don't like. Even with people who have wronged us, even on days when we fall out of bed in the morning or wake up on the wrong side of the morning, even after we have a disagreement or an argument with somebody, we're still supposed to shake their hand and say good morning. And friends, it is the hardest thing in the world to do. I understand. There are some days I do not want to shake Luann's hand. Withhold that. You're picking on you because you got the hat today. There are times where I don't want to shake someone's hand. There are times when I'm fighting with so-and-so and I do not want to give them the benefit or the satisfaction of shaking my hand this morning. There are times where I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it. And that is not Christ-like. That is not what it means to be a Methodist. That is not what it means to be a Christian. Now, I'm not saying you have to shake people's hands. I understand germs. I understand flu season. A wave is fine. A touching of the elbows is fine. A peace be with you is fine. But we cannot just ignore people because we were mad at them. We cannot just say, no, we're not going to shake your hand. I'm not going to acknowledge you. You are not my brother and sister in Christ this morning, because that is not Christian. What we do is we get up, we grimace, we shake their hand. We remember that we were forgiven first, and so we forgive others. And if you can't forgive today, we were loved first, and so we love others. We're called to, we're instructed to, we're commanded to fix things with others. And so in a couple of minutes, when we pass the peace, I know nobody here is fighting a eternal battle or a Hatfield and McCoy type of argument. But remember that you are loved. Remember that you are forgiven. Greet one another in the peace of the risen Lord. Amen. Amen.